Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. Hopefully, everyone's enjoying the feast. I'm looking forward to Family Day. Hope everyone else is looking forward to Family Day as well. I got some questions for you. What is your background? Where did you grow up? When did you grow up? 40s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even for the teens and young adults, the 2000s and 2010s. What area you grew up and where you grew up makes no difference, especially to God. You know, my background is quite different from yours. It doesn't make me better, it just makes me different. I spent 18 years at Soledad Prison. 18 long years. Got your attention. Anyway, I spent the 18 years was the first 18 years of my life. My dad worked there, and we lived on the prison grounds. So I wasn't in prison. But I have a few questions for you. Who here had inmates as gardeners in their yards, at their homes? Not many hands going up. Who had inmates as friends? Again, to clarify, the inmates would work in the yards of the houses on the prison grounds, and they would work around 1 to 2 years. Those in good standing and who were about to be released about 1 or 2 years, 1.5 to 2 year period, time frame, and they call that working outside the fence for the inmates. This allowed them to regain work ethic and also to get used to working with people again. One inmate in particular I remember well. He'd play catch with me, baseball, occasionally. He wasn't supposed to do that, but he would do it when he knew nobody was around. And I would help him in the yard as well. And we were friends. He was 45 years old or plus. I was probably 10, possibly. I can't remember exactly the date. His name was John Alexander. I remember very well. There's only one other name I remember than that. I was 5 years old, and one of the inmates that worked in our yard, his name was, I can't remember it all of a sudden. I'll just say Mike. I can't believe I can't remember his name. In all the years I remember John Alexander the best, though. He was one of my favorites. I used to hang around him and I was almost like a shadow to him. I have another question for you. Who here played Little League baseball behind the prison fence? I did. I got to play Little League baseball in front of the prisoners, in front of inmates. I'm sure the inmates were handpicked that were watching the game. You know, as we were sitting on the bench, I just remember this so vividly. You could hear the inmates betting on every pitch, whether it was a ball or a strike, and they were betting cigarettes. And who knows what else they were betting. I was able to actually see Charles Manson, Sirhan, be police escorted into the prison grounds. I didn't get to see their faces, but I was able to watch the escort, and my dad would let me know ahead of time what was going on. So I was in our house, was right there, right in the front of the main road that led right into the prison gates. So I was able to see that. But enough about me. As I said before, my background growing up doesn't make me better. It's just different from yours. Just as your background is different from everyone else. God has called us out of different backgrounds, different areas of this world, and from different eras as well. Some of you may have very interesting stories to tell. Some of those stories would be very interesting for some of the young adults, the kids, and the teens to hear. The key is that we are all different, but God has called us and is making us one. To be one-minded, to be of the same mind. He's making a family which we are all a part of now. Eventually, we're going to be born into his literal family of spirit beings. So today, let's see how God is making us one. Let's see how he does it and see how he is creating a family through teaching us to be one. I'm very grateful for this water. You may be asking, why is this so important? What's this have to do with the feast? Well, one reason in the millennium, we will be of one mind, one goal-oriented. We will need to learn to know how to do the Father's will today, because that's what we're going to be doing in the millennium. We're going to be doing the Father's will as well as Christ's will, as he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To begin with, turn over to John 17. Let's find out how we're going to be one. And we're going to find out how we're going to be a family. And then we're going to find out a certain way that God ties us all together and puts us as one. John 17, starting in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's us. We believe the truth through God's word, the Bible. That they also may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. God wants us to be one as Christ and the Father are one. This is the Father's will, that we be one. In Matthew 6:10, it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we strive to do, is to do the Father's will. It's not easy. This seems to be an impossible task, but this is something we all have to strive for. To be one, we must depend on one another by putting the interests of others ahead of our own. This is what godly love is all about. But how do we do this? How can we be one if we have different backgrounds, different upbringings, different mindsets, and come from different eras? Here's just one way. Turn over to 1 John. There are many ways, but I think this one kind of expands what we're talking about today a little bit. 1 John 1. It's a very simple idea here that John puts forth. 1 John 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So God wants us to be one just as he is. And he does that. And this is a step we have to take. And we need to take this step to heart. We must walk in the light as God and Christ are in the light. If we can do this, we can have fellowship with one another, because we're walking on the same path and we have the same goal. What can light picture that can help us be one? Well, it pictures truth. It pictures God's law. It pictures God's word. They're all linked together. You could read that in Psalms 43, verse 3, Psalms 119, 105, and Proverbs 6:23. Truth, God's law, his word represents light. You could also picture Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. So these things, when we walk in the light, we're walking in the not just in the light, but in God's word, truth, and his law. So walking in the light is walking in God's law and his truth. We are to stay focused on the truth of God and not get caught up on the branches, which may not hold our weight. In other words, don't get caught off and get excited about new truth or something out there. Don't go elsewhere for truth. The truth is here in God's church. It's not out there. That's why we're here today. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, Paul writes to Timothy and to us, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. You know, we're not a perfect church, but Christ is the head of the church, and this is where truth dwells. Truth is the pillar and the ground of the church. Not lies, truth. John 17:17 says that his word, God's word, Christ, what he speaks, is truth. And in Psalms 119, verse 160, it says, the entirety of your word, not just part of it, the entirety of your word is truth. That truth of God sets us apart or sanctifies us. It makes us different. So to be one, we must be grounded in the truth and walk in the light. And that light, again, shows us the path that we are to walk on. So we see where we're going. Turn over to Romans 12, a few scriptures in Romans. Romans 12. And starting in verse 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. This is what we're supposed to do. When we see something good to happen to someone, we are to rejoice with them. And when we see something that happens that's bad or something that is sad or something that is tragic, we weep with those people as well. Verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So to be one, we must strive to be of the same mind. The word in the Greek for same mind is phroneo. It's an interesting word, phroneo. It means to be agreed, to be harmonious. You know, like a choir. Choir has different voices. And the choir director is supposed to bring them all together as one. So harmonious, to cherish the same views, is another description of this word. To associate with all. Don't think your opinion is all there is. God's opinion is the most important, but don't think that your opinion is all there is. To be of the same mind takes effort, but it's our goal. Romans 15, verses 1 through 6. Romans 15, 1 through 6. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Just like we read in the previous verse, in chapter 12. Let each one please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Through God's word, we have hope. Hope's not outside this God's word, outside in the world. It's in God's church, through his word. One of the aspects of hope is to be like-minded. Verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all can, with one mind, glorify God the Father. That is the key. That is the goal for us. But it takes work to look out for the interests of others, doesn't it? Because we're so concentrated on ourselves. Our example of how to do this is Jesus Christ and how he lived his life while he was on this earth. So we are to have the same mind, to be like-minded. And what is it that God gives us the power to be of the same mind? I think we all know the answer to that question. But what is it? Let's turn over to Philippians 2. And I'll start reading in verse 2. Philippians 2, verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That same love is God's love, the agape love. We are of the same love, to be of one accord, to be of one mind. The word one accord in the Greek means to be harmonious as well, as we mentioned earlier, or of one soul. How do we do this? Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than ourselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Again, by putting others first. That's how we become one-minded, of the same mind. By thinking of others. how they perceive things, how they see things, because they're from different eras. They've been called from different backgrounds. Again, this is not an easy task, but again, how is this done? How do we do this? Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind is the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ. That's how it's done. We cannot do it on our own. We need that mind of Christ. We need to use it, though. God has given it to us. We need to use it, not just have it, but utilize that Spirit he's given us. Ephesians 4. It's nice to have things, but if you don't use them, it does you no good. We need to use what God has given us. That includes gifts as well that he gives us. Verse 1 of Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, maybe Paul would have been my friend, because I was friends with prisoners, inmates, who knows. I beseech you to have a walk worthy of your calling, in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, endeavoring. It takes effort to be, on our part, to be one. Verse 4, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So again, we're called out of differing backgrounds. We all have that one hope of eternal life in God's kingdom. God is trying to get across to us that we are to be one. There are not many lords, just one God. There is one faith, not many. One baptism, not many. But the world would like to tell you otherwise. There's other ways to get to heaven, as they say, or get to where you want to go. You don't have to follow the Bible. You can do it other ways. The world would like to tell you so many different things that are out there. But God's word, his truth, is in God's church. It's not outside the church. You know, Paul's background was a Pharisee. He, as you know, persecuted the church and was responsible for some of the deaths of the saints. Paul himself, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12 through 13, said, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance. And he continued to say he was a chief sinner. We need to realize that we all fall into this category. This is what we have in common. We're all sinners, right? This is what we have in common. Even though we come from different backgrounds, different eras, as I said before, this is something we have in common. It's not a great thing, but the best thing about it is repentance, and Jesus Christ died for our sins, and we can be cleansed. Also, we obtain mercy, and for the young children, teens, and young adults, we all have to go through this process. Even if you're born in the church, we have to go through this process. And understanding this commonality can help us be one. Galatians 3. A few pages back, Galatians 3. I am a water drinker, so I drink water like crazy, and especially what I had for breakfast. I shouldn't have had salty food, but we'll deal with that. Verse 26, for you are all sons of God, Galatians 3, verse 26, through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Again, called from differing backgrounds, and God is making us one. Think of the apostles. Some were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. There was Simon the Zealot. The apostles had different backgrounds, various backgrounds, and God worked with them to be one through Jesus Christ. You know, we are all children of God through faith in Christ. We are tied together by that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit, in a sense, makes us related. We are family. That's what this day pictures, Family Day. 1 Peter 3:8, I'll just read that. 1 Peter 3:8 says, tells us to be of one mind, having compassion for one another, to love as brothers. We are brothers and sisters, and we are a family. That brings us to being a family. Our local churches are our spiritual families. We as a whole are a family as well. Today, right here, this is a family, God's family right here. I think we all know what ties us together, and that's God's Holy Spirit. I just mentioned that. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 15. Before I read that, the previous verses say this. You know, Paul is teaching to the church that there are the unsearchable riches of Christ, verse 9. To the church, not to the world, to the church. Verse 9 says, the mysteries from which the beginning have been hidden in God, and they have been revealed to the church. It is God who reveals these to us through his calling and the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, I'll read verse 10. Let me get there first. Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers to the heavenly places. God reveals these things again, as it says in verse 10, to the church, not the world, the church. Verse 14. My eyes are going on me. Oh, there we go. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Lord of our to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In a sense, all of mankind is a family, but God has chosen us to be born as first fruits as a family of God. And it all begins in our local church areas. You know, when I first started attending church in 1985, my local church quickly became a family to me. I was 26 years old when I started attending church, and that church quickly became a family to me. I remember Mr. Cole and Mr. Jacobs were pastors in the San Jose and Aptos. Fred Crow was there too as well, which I attended. These two men and their families were instrumental in making the church like a family. And the churches, of course, were not perfect, but to me, it was like a family. So it is today, 40 years later. My home church is a family. I love my home church. And the New King James family is only mentioned 5 times. And only once in the King James Version. So we have to go other places to find out, talking about family. So I chose to look up household. Ephesians 2. A couple pages back, Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Again, call out of differing backgrounds and upbringings. We are no longer strangers, but we are fellow citizens of what? God's household, God's church, his family. Verse 20, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We are individually a temple and collectively a temple as well. A temple built together for a home for the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us together as a family, as a church. We are the family, the household of God. Galatians 6. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. We are to be examples and to do good to all, to be lights to the world, but especially to God's house, his church. We do this by being like-minded, by being of the same mind, which we mentioned earlier. What better time than now during the Feast of Tabernacles to do good, especially to the household of God, right? Joshua 24, as we start to wrap this up, Joshua 24, verse 15. I'll start reading in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which the fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. I was called out of this world. I was on the other side of Egypt in a sense. God told me to quit serving those gods, the gods of Christmas, the gods of Easter. Different gods. One person behind or one thing behind, and that's Satan the devil. I was called out of that. Some of us here were called out of that as well. Verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. I have to make a choice. Am I going to continue serving God or am I going to go back to the world? I choose to serve God. And it continues on. It says, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua says. As a church of God and down to our local churches, this should be our motto. But as for me and my church family, we will serve the Lord. To do this, we must be of one mind, the mind of Christ. Deuteronomy 14, verse 26, I'll just read that. Deuteronomy 14, 26, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. Speaking about the Feast of Tabernacles. For oxen, for sheep, for wine, or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat therefore before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice with you and your household, your family. The whole household can be expanded out to mean the whole church, the whole family, those here at the feast. It's hard to do. There's a lot of people. We try our best. We should all rejoice as the family of God. So before I wrap this up, how does God do all this? I mean, we talked about we have to be the same mind. We have to be like-minded. We're one family. God works us through the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? We're all different. We all have different backgrounds. We come from different eras. He somehow brings us together. We have seen it through the Holy Spirit, that it's through the Holy Spirit he does this. But it's much more personal. 1 Peter 5, 7. You don't need to turn there. If you like, you can read along. I'm just going to read from the Amplified Version because I think this kind of sets the tone pretty well here. It says in the Amplified Version, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Our relationship with God in Christ is very personal. He cares for us as individuals and also as a group. But he works with us individually, and we must never overlook that. To the children, the teens, the young adults, and everyone else, God is working with you and with me individually. One of my favorite scriptures as we close this up, Psalms 33. Psalms 33. And verse 13. I'll give you time to turn there because I want you to read it with me so I can get a drink of water as well. Verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven, down from heaven. He sees the sons of man. God is up in eternity, in the spirit realm. Not here on this physical realm, the spirit realm, looking down on us. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. If God looks down from heaven and sees all the sons of men and fashions their hearts individually, do you not think he will take more notice on those who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit? I think he does, because that's why he called you, to work with us individually. That word fashion, interesting word. It means a potter who forms out of clay a vessel, or a carver of wood. Another interesting thing, God forming Adam out of dust. The same word, forming Adam out of dust, is being used there. A squeezing into shape. God squeezes us into shape individually through trials and tests, does he not? Sure he does. That's another meaning for this word. Verse 18. Let's read, wrap this up in verse 18 through 22. Behold, the eyes of the Lord on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. We have that promise, don't we? Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Do we have the correct fear of God? We all must, because his eyes are on us. He's watching us. He's working with us individually and deeply cares for us. We are his family, and he wants us to be in God's kingdom more than we do ourselves, I believe, because of his great love and his great plan of salvation. We have been called out of differing backgrounds. God is working with us as individuals to make us one, to be of the same mind, to have the same hope, to be of one family. Let's not let God down. Let's strive for the possible, because all things are possible with God. Let's strive to be born into the family of God as true children of God. For God truly does care for you and me as individuals, as a church, and as a church family.